Sergei Guchev says Putin and Obama should just sit down and talk and drink some vodka together.
Vodka, no.
But there'll be no vodka for this group. They plan to enjoy their après-ski the French way with oysters and champagne. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, the French Alps.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Here in the studio, I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Guarantee your seats today for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Keynoting the day is Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services, and we'll get a presentation on land values from Murray Wise. And we'll take all of your questions on soybean and corn futures, cash grain, and whatever else is on your mind. Call now for tickets at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter, March wheat, 540 down 4. Soft March, 502 down 5 and 3 quarters. March corn, 368 down 3.5. July, 383 and 3 quarters down 4. December, 399 and a quarter down 3.5. March soybeans, 959 and a half, now a quarter down 9. July, 971 down 8 and 3 quarters. November, 943 and a quarter down 8. March soybean meal, 330 down 760. March soybean oil, 29.70 up 16 cents. February live cattle, 153.37 and a half down 15. March feeders, 203.70 now 80 up 22 and a half. February lean hogs, 67.50 down 105. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
It has been very much a week where we have slowly bled commodities, and we're ending the week on a weak note, too.
And we're ending the month, and we need to take a step back and realize this. We're ending the month at a record run higher in the U.S. dollar, seven straight months higher, Dave, longest run since its float in 1971. And at the exact same time, we're seeing crude oil set to finish this month of January with seven straight months lower. So the disconnect between the new drought monitor and the disconnect in prices for the futures market between the weekly export sales can be relatively easily explained right now, and it's because of this record run in these opposing asset classes that have kept feeding the deflationary bias by the investors out there in the world. And the Federal Reserve helped it midweek feed the dollar bull, which I think it is at a point now where you do have to feed the bull with new news in the dollar. And the Fed comments did that. We had Singapore Central Bank lower their interest rate on Wednesday. We had Denmark Central Bank lower its interest rate for a third time in 10 days on Thursday. And we had the Russian Central Bank surprisingly lower its interest rate, even though it's got almost 20% inflation this morning. And so this is what helps explain why we continue to go lower, even though the Midwest Drought Monitor saw a 21% increase in drought versus last week, and we had very nice weekly export sales. So this is what we fight as we deal with these macro fundamentals.
Are these macro fundamentals beating on traders from a psychological standpoint? They just don't want to pull triggers.
Partly. I think what you're dealing with in the crude oil is a supply issue, but I think that's been priced in. We're right now just under 407 million barrels of U.S. crude in inventories. Mm-hmm. That's the highest level for this time of year in at least 80 years. So there's no question we don't need to be at $80 or $70 in crude oil right now because of what OPEC has done. But do we need to be at $44 at this stage of the game in West Texas Intermediate? And I would say no. I think that really has a lot more to do with the investor psychology wanting to price in more deflation. And at the heart of this is China, because I think the investor community really kind of threw in the towel about a month ago, along the same time that OPEC decided to make their move, that China was not going to be able to keep up and help offset some of these weakening economies in Europe and Japan and some other nations that we're dealing with right now.
So to what degree does oil and the dollar, and by the way, the dollar looks like it's in an up flag, to what degree do they provide a linchpin for grains going forward for the next 60 days?
To answer that question, you cannot rely upon correlations to trade, and there is a lot of risk in talking about correlations, and I want to say that up front, but I do use correlations a lot. But between the Bloomberg Commodity Index and the U.S. dollar on an eight-week basis correlation on a weekly chart, you're talking about a 96% inverse relationship between those two right now. And so if you want the grain markets to have a long-term bottom, you have to have a low in the crude oil that's led by a high in the dollar, in my opinion. And I think we are still on track to be like the mid-90s or even like 2010, where we had a similar scenario in terms of supply-demand fundamentals in the grains versus what the macros were doing. And I will say also, in 2010, both March beans and December corn were able to make lows the first week of February. And so that's also important in the short term here. Both of them were able to go up about 6% from their lows on the 3rd and 5th of February up to the middle of February. And so in today's terms, that would translate to about a $10 March bean retracement to a $4.25 December corn retracement if we would pattern this market like 2010, and we have so far this winter.
Well, from a statistical standpoint, it is seldom that the January highs in either corn or beans end up to be, if you're looking at December and November contracts, end up to be the annual highs. So something's probably going to happen in the next 10 months is what I'm saying.
Yes, and I think that's where I'm talking about that V-type shape trend that we're going to probably experience or have a better likelihood than average of experiencing this year. And I say that especially because wheat exports, which have been really, really tragic because of the currencies and because of the demand for French wheat, because of its price, they actually were 74% above the four-week average. Corn year-to-date export commitments running about a percent above last year. USDA has us down 9% versus last year. Dave, that's a swing of about 170 million bushels. So we could theoretically be closer to a 1.7 14-15 carryover than a 1.9 14-15 carryover. And I think the other big thing that happened this week that makes me feel like that the dollar is more in control, not the supply-demand fundamentals, is that China came in and bought 20 of the 32 million bushels of bean export sales on the week. And so they're clearly still buying, just at cheaper prices.
And they're going to probably buy for a while, given that there are issues with the transportation infrastructure in Brazil.
Yeah, and I think Dr. Cordonnier talked about that with us a couple weeks ago on Commodity Week, and we're looking at probably mid to late March before we really see a big transfer. Now, the bids at the Gulf are starting to show some weakness for that middle to late spring time period, so the trade's already on top of that. And I think the other thing that we got to go back to is that the Federal Reserve, be it for better or for worse, has been telegraphing their change in policy for over 6 months. And I've got to think after this last 6 months of trade, we have some of their policy rate change and their first increase in interest rates mid-year, later this year, whenever, already baked into the cake. And so I think there, again, potential bearish news will not be taken that way. And this is the key for the dollar high and the crude oil low. When you get bearish news and the market doesn't move in the trend of the news, then you can start to think, well, maybe we've run out of buyers on the dollar, maybe we've run out of sellers on the crude.
Okay, got about a minute left. Strategy, old crop corn, everybody's got some to sell. What are they going to do?
Well, I think at this stage of the game, even though we've gone through 375 and we've tested $5 in the soft red wheat, 375 in lead month corn futures, I would say that is a very negative chart picture after this week. And again, it goes back to what happened in the outside markets, not the supply-demand fundamentals. Be that as it may, if this 2010-type model year returns or continues and we see a low next week, I'm willing to wait until the middle of next week to see exactly what happens basis has been coming up to offset part of the corn futures decline, I think that helps me preserve enough equity to wait at least three or four trading days at this stage and see if we don't get some type of price bottom. And I go back to those dollar and crude oil charts. They really do look overdone. The 10-day moving average in the dollar index has not been violated on a close since December 16th. If I could get a close below that, then I can start feeling better about the corn that's in the bin.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. March corn trading 367 and three quarters, down 3 3/4. July 383 and three quarters, down 4. December 399, down 3 3/4. March beans 959 and a quarter, down 9. November 943 and a half, down 7 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 10 o'clock Central Time. From NPR.